Joel chapter 3. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. You know all those, right? Hosea. Now, Pentecost. This message this morning is called The Power of Pentecost. And Pentecost means the 50th day. And it was the 50th day after the Sabbath of the Passover week. Pentecost is also referred to as the Feast of Weeks. And Pentecost Sunday is celebrated in a variety of ways in a variety of both traditional and non-traditional churches. But what I want to do on Pentecost Sunday is go to the Scriptures and see what happened on Pentecost. Joel chapter 3. Now, as you turn there, you'll see that in Joel chapter 1 verse 4, we're discovering that a time of judgment has come upon the people of God. They've sinned. And the locusts have overrun their country. You probably read and heard about the plagues of locusts that came. And upon occasion in some countries, they're literally darkened. The skies are darkened by swarms, huge swarms of terrifying locusts. Chapter 1, verse 4 talks about four kinds of locusts. Chewing locusts, swarming locusts, crawling locusts, and consuming locusts. Now, when you read most commentaries, most of them agree that it's not different kinds of locusts as much as different stages of locusts, from embryo to maturity, and the devastation that that discipline and judgment has upon the people of God and upon their land. And early in the book of Joel, there's only a few chapters to it, God calls for a fast, for repentance, for a turning and for a responding to God. And when His people respond, God promises a turning again and a restoration. How many are glad that God is a restoring God? Come on, I said, how many are glad God's a God of restoration? We wouldn't be here this morning if God wasn't a God of restoration. So He says, if you will turn again, then I will meet you, says your God. Let's hear His promises. Joel chapter 2, verses 23 through 32. I'm reading from the New King James on most of the occasions. I'd like you to see it in your own Bible, but I also have it up front. Joel chapter 2, verses 23 through 32. Be glad then. Now He's talked about repentance. He's talked about fasting. He's talked about turning. And now we see what are the results of that turning again. Be glad then, you children of Israel, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For He has given you the former rain faithfully. He will cause the rain to come down for you. The former rain, and now say the next phrase, and the latter rain in the first month. Now, this isn't referring to the Latter-day Saints. That's something completely different. But the latter rain outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which occurred in the 40s, there were three major outpourings of the Spirit in the 20th century. 1902 to 1906, Azusa Street Revival. The Spirit of God was poured out, and literally poured out, and people took the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit all around the world. In the 1940s, you had the outpouring of the latter rain. Some people, Bible school students, simply began to cry out to God, pour out your Spirit. And they were up in Saskatchewan, North Battleford, Canada, and they read the Scriptures in the book of Acts, and they said, this has got to be real for today. And they began to seek God and seek God and seek God, and He poured out His Spirit. People flew in from all around the world, and the Spirit of God moved on people's lives, and they carried this experience all around the world back to their churches with them. It became known as the Latter Rain Movement. Healing evangelists and worship and praise and worship and the baptism in the Spirit with the gifts of the Spirit. Praise and worship and prophecy and speaking in tongues. Gifts of the Spirit like were expressed here this morning. Were really birthed again in the church. Then how many know what happened in 1967 and through the 70s or the early part of the 70s especially? Remember what that outpouring was called? The charismatic movement. And denominational walls literally fell down. It didn't matter if you were a Baptist or Lutheran. It didn't matter if you were a Catholic. It didn't matter if you'd surrendered your life to Jesus. When the Holy Spirit came upon you, denominational walls fell down. And we were brethren in the Lord worshiping God. I've referred to it many times as the fruit was just jumping off the tree. People were getting saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit. How many want to live under an open heaven of revival again? Come on, I said, how many want to see God move in revival again? Pour out your Spirit, O God. Show your power. Show your power. The latter rain and the former rain. that double portion. The farmers would wait for the latter rain to come, would be that final rain to really bring the fruit to wonderful ripening before harvest season came. The latter rain in the first month. Watch this. After restoration and repentance, the threshing floor shall be, say it with me please, full of wheat. And the vat shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. He reverses these four. The swarming locust has eaten. The crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wonderfully with you. How many know God has dealt wonderfully with you and with me? We live in a wonderful day. There's a lot more hope in church than there is out in the world, isn't there? Yes. A lot more hope in church and in the scriptures than you find on the news, right? Yes. This is the good news. And it doesn't change based on circumstances. And you will praise the name of your God who has dealt wonderfully, wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God. There is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. That's twice within a couple of verses. How many would like to see the body of Christ never put to shame? The people of Israel, never put to shame. Now watch. I'd like you to read this out loud with me. Verse 28 on. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Now, no show of hands, but how many guys are dreaming dreams in here? Your young men shall see visions. How many guys are getting visions? Come on, and women as well. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. How many know that in the body of Christ people need to be able to find deliverance in the Lord? Lifting of shame and sin and everything that has wrecked their life. The good news is in Jesus. Someone say amen. Amen. As the Lord has said among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Restoration. Harvest. Great harvest. The Holy Spirit will speak and fall upon all who have surrendered to Him. Age makes no difference. Sex makes no difference. The Holy Spirit will fall and speak and lead and show the way. For those who call out to God and escape from sin, the Scripture says. In the Hebrew, that word escape literally means for those who accost Him, you will be rescued. Some people today like to think, oh, no big deal. I'll just give it mental assent. I'll just think that He's the Lord and I'll be fine. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you need to come to repentance from your sin. You need to surrender your life. You need to ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. Come in and save you and redeem you. Accost Him. Oh God, I cry out for deliverance. And the Bible says you will be delivered. How many have been rescued by the grace of Jesus Christ? Did it come just because you mentally assented that He was the Lord? Or did you have a time where you surrendered to Jesus? Now see, it's a kindness. It's not cruel to look at somebody who doesn't personally know the Lord and say, if they think they do but they're not sure, ask them, have you had a time where you personally surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? An event, a time. If not, let's do it now. So you can always know. I grew up going to church. I thought I was saved. Because I went to church. How many know that's not what saves you? But I had a time when Jesus really came into my life because I surrendered to Him. Call out to God. Now, Joel is a contemporary, most likely, of Elisha. They're not exactly certain when Joel was written, but Elisha was prophesying probably when Joel was prophesying. And Joel's prophecies were to Judah. He was trying to tell the people of God that darkness is coming because of sin. If you will turn God will forgive. Listen up, America! We come then to 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New. Then we come to the ministry of Jesus. His life, His ministry, His death, His burial, His resurrection, and His ascension. And now, we have a band of 120 men and women praying together, waiting on God, in obedience to the command of Jesus. They were gathered in an upper room. All they could do is keep praying and say, okay, Jesus said something's coming. Something's coming. Look at each other and say, something's coming. Something good is up. God's going to do something. He said He would. And watch what the instruction was. Luke 24:49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with. Literally, the Greek means clothed with. Clothed upon. Until you are clothed upon with power from on high. Now, before I even go much further, somebody can look at me and say, don't you know 1 Corinthians 13 says the greater thing is love? I mean, we don't need the gifts of the Spirit. The greater thing is love. If you ever read 1 Corinthians 13 and you see the claims of how you're supposed to live in that love, you know you need the Holy Spirit to help you get there. Love is perfect. Love is kind. Never arrogant. Never causes a problem. Now, loves everybody, all that believes all things. How many are doing real good at all those things? You got to have the Holy Spirit in your life in order to help you even do that. And in fact, if you take a look in context, take the scripture from context. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, all about the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, all about the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is simply the love filling in the middle that says, and here's the spirit in which you need to minister those gifts. It doesn't say don't have the gifts. The scripture says go for the gifts and get them all. Minister them according to the love of Jesus. Don't be so quiet. Isn't that true? That's what the Bible says. Take the Bible in context, Pastor Tim. Okay, I just did. All right. Acts 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. Let me ask you a question. Did the apostles, the disciples in the New Testament need the power from on high? Yeah. Do they need the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
How many think that if they did, we do?
Yeah.
After you receive power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be witnesses, literally martyrs. They lived martyrdom lives, and they needed the power to embrace it, to carry this message all around the known world. Watch what happens. All right, number one, they obeyed Jesus. They obeyed Him. They waited. They were in the upper room. They're saying, okay, God, pour out Your Spirit and do us with power from on high. And God was getting ready to clothe them with new garments. Something's coming. Something's coming. Are you ready to receive what God's doing? Number two, power is coming. Miraculous provision to do the works of God. How many know the Olympic Peninsula could stand to see a little more of the power of Jesus Christ in action? The precious, loving power of the presence of God. Healing, hope, deliverance, strength, prayer. Real and alive. Number three, they were in one accord. No division. They had one mind. They were unanimously waiting. And how were they waiting? In a spirit of hunger. Come on, say the word with me. Hunger. Say it again. Hunger. Now turn to each other and ask, are you hungry for Jesus? Church, are you hungry for God's presence and God's revival? Are you hungry to see Him fulfill His word? Your hunger for Him will determine your own response to Him. Your hunger determines if you stay at the reasons for coming to church. You know, we've talked about it before. There's information. That's a blessing. There's inspiration. I got hope. That's a blessing. But you can stay at information and inspiration and go home and have lunch. Or you can have information, inspiration, impartation, and transformation. How many came here today to become more like Jesus? To be transformed by the renewing of our mind and by the Word of God. Are you hungry to be changed by the Lord? There's an attitude inside. Something burns inside that says, I want to be in on what God's doing. I want to jump into the river of God. I'm going to church this morning. Come on, you guys. Let's go to church. Let's jump into the river. I don't know. I'm not sure what God's going to do this morning, but I've been in prayer, and I know I want to be a part of it. Don't you want to be a part of what God's doing? That's why you're driving down from Port Angeles. You want to be a part of what God's doing. That's why you're coming from across town or Port Townsend or wherever. Oh, God, move this morning and let me be a part of it. I want to be a part of what God's doing. Acts 2, 1 through 4, let's see what happened. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all, how many? Come on, how many? Oh no, this is just for a select few. This is just for the apostles. How many? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And began to what? Began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is sight and sound, folks. We know the generation of today is a sight and sound generation. God did a sight and sound moving of the Spirit. The rushing mighty wind is literally a violent wind. Tornadoes lately. Did you hear any of the descriptions when they talk about the tornadoes? Sounded like a huge freight train was coming through my house. So there's 1,000 freight trains coming through your house. The Holy Spirit, like a rushing, mighty, violent wind, there was a roar that took place, and it attracted people all around them. They could hear it. Tongues of fire sat upon them. They could see it. Tongues as of fire. How many have heard stories of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit when a church was full of revival and the Spirit moved? So much so that neighbors called the fire department because they saw flames on top of the building. There's story after story like that of God moving in revival. And the fire people get there, and all it is a bunch of people worshiping Jesus. How many are waiting for that to happen here? Yeah. EMTs come rushing in the door. We look at them and say, come on in, guys, hear the message. Tongues of fire. A powerful meeting in the Spirit. And they were all met. If you gathered in hunger, and your heart was obedient to Jesus, and there was no wall separating you and God, no sin, you were met by the Holy Spirit. Sat on each of them. They began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, how many know if God's going to do something with you, you've got to cooperate with Him? Come on. You got to cooperate with the Lord. You can't just open your mouth and a voice jumps out and speaking in tongues. There it is. How come nothing's happening? You have to use your tongue, your vocal cords. Now, listen to me. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, as you've seen, comes with power and with might. It's more than simply the gift of speaking in tongues, but the most usual in the Scriptures, accompanying sign of the baptism in the Spirit. I didn't say the only. The most usual is the gift of speaking in tongues. You go over to 1 Corinthians. Remember when Peter went to the Gentiles? How many remember that? Remember that story? Peter goes to the Gentiles. He's not even done with his message, and God's so impolite, he interrupts and pours out the Holy Spirit during Peter's message. Remember how he knew the Holy Spirit had fallen upon them? Because he heard them, the Bible says, speak with other tongues as the Spirit fell on them. We don't push anybody. That's not the point. The point is, what does the Bible say? Listen, in my heart, let me talk about my attitude. What does the Bible say? And what am I hungry for? Oh God, I'm hungry for you. Come on. Oh God, I'm hungry for you. I want everything God's got for me. Amen. I know, you're looking at me like, I know, you're crazy, Pastor Kevin. If you had $1 million left to you, by the people that went on before you, and you were their heir, would you sit back and say, if they really wanted me to have it, they'd put it in my hand? Or would you say, I think I want that. Where do I have to go? What do I have to sign? Do it, Lord. Well, you'll have the money to pay the taxes. Now look, one of the most important changes, I'll be back later. One of the most important changes could be readily seen in the Apostle Peter. Because here's a man who denied the Lord, and all of a sudden, he's the one who stands up and preaches. Peter is one of the best proofs of the reality of the Holy Spirit being poured out on that day. Acts 2, verses 16 through 18. Watch what he did. He stood up and he preached the message. He told them about repentance, and it says, but this is what was spoken by the prophet. Didn't we just read what Joel said? This was that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in these last days, says God, or the last days, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Doesn't say maybe, sort of, could, sort of, maybe, someday, kind of, hope so. It says, and they shall. The Holy Spirit is available to everyone. Now, again, this is a repeated redundancy. I just check and see if you're listening. Available to all, and I'm emphasizing the point again. The Holy Spirit is available to everyone. Sons, daughters, all flesh, visions, dreams, prophecy. Well, Pastor Kev, I got the Holy Spirit when I believed. That's exactly right. You would not become a believer if the Holy Spirit was not involved in your life. But there's a difference between the breath of God and the rushing mighty wind. There's a difference. It's called more. Anybody here want more of God? All of God's people can be met by the Spirit and minister the gifts of the Spirit, and should want to hear from the Holy Spirit. We need His anointing in His life. I taught 18 lessons on the gifts and the offices of the Holy Spirit. We should have many who come in on Sunday morning, who have sought the Lord and prepared themselves, who have the song of the Lord, prophecies and tongues and interpretation, and more of God's people should be lifting their voice. And we take time even to practice on Wednesday nights. Come on out. If you never prophesied before, come join us on Wednesday night. And when we're worshiping, step out and, God, use me. Hunger for the Spirit of God to see Him move. Not wildfire, but people I know with integrity and character who can minister not the judgment of God, that's not this kind of prophecy, but edification, exhortation, and comfort, the Bible says. Acts 2, 32 through 42. This Jesus, God has raised up, of which we were all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He poured out this, which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. How many know that Peter didn't shy away from conviction? How many know it's not a wrong thing to have conviction and straightforward truth teaching in church? Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, to your children, to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly receive, come on, say that with me, gladly receive, one more time, gladly receive. Somebody who's got just a sour attitude, doesn't want anything to do with God, probably won't receive the Holy Spirit. But those who gladly received him were baptized. That day about 3,000 souls were added to them. They continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and fellowship, the breaking of bread and in prayers. They gave room for the Holy Spirit, and folks, great revival broke out. They gave room for the Holy Spirit, and great revival broke out. Those who gladly received. God wants to save and deliver. But the message needs to come with anointing and with truth and with conviction, and repentance needs to come. And when the people of God repent of their sins and surrender to Jesus, the Bible tells us God adds souls and saves people and fills them with His Spirit and gives them freedom and liberty, and they worship and they enjoy His presence. How do you know when the real deals come? How do you know when salvation comes? How do you know when you have the power of Pentecost? Number one, you fall in love with Jesus and His Word. You fall in love with Jesus and His Word. I can tell you something. I went to church every Sunday of my life growing up as a third of three children. Couldn't get out of going to church. Church meant nothing to me until I genuinely surrendered my life to Jesus, got filled with the Spirit, and all of a sudden, church came alive. The Word of God came alive. There was a reason for going to church. How many come to church to find Jesus and to allow Him to change you? How many come here to be changed by the Spirit of the living God? Oh God, we give You our lives in fresh ways. Transform us, oh Lord. So they fall in love with Jesus and His Word. Number two, they fall in love with His church. Look around and say, love You, church. And number three, they continue. Now watch what the Scripture said. They continued in the breaking of bread and in fellowship. They didn't just show up whenever they wanted to, sort of kind of maybe every now and then. They showed up consistently to see what Jesus was doing. Come on, they came consistently to see what Jesus is doing. Continued steadfast in the Greek literally means they were earnest toward. They continued it. They persevered and they were constantly diligent to the things of God. Jesus was now their life. And so was the church. See, in America now, we have this American Christianity mentality that says, church, take it or leave it. It's Jesus I love. You go to the New Testament and you find out that Jesus and His church are not separate. Someone say amen. Amen. Jesus and His church are not separated. You don't see a body running around without a head, and you don't see a head running around without a body, do you? It's all part of being a part of Him. Let me give a final thought. A final instruction to those who have already received the gift of the Holy Spirit and those who have already received the gift of speaking in tongues. The Bible says, continue therein. Stir up the gift. Anybody in this room like hot chocolate? You've heard this illustration before. You like hot chocolate? You ever use any of the mix back there for hot chocolate? Once in a while. Okay. If you ever used a mix for hot chocolate, you make that cup and it's hot, you set it down, you walk away, and you forget about it. What happens to the chocolate mix? It gets cold. What else? It settles. So if you were to pick that up and take a big swig, what would your face look like? Let me see your faces. What are you supposed to do? What should you do? Stir it up. And do what? And do what? Put it in the microwave. Stir it up and heat it up. How many know sometimes God's kids got to get stirred up and heated up? Sometimes the Bible says, stir up the gift of God that is in you. Let's see it according to the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. Therefore I remind you, say it with me, to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. Sometimes do things ever get settled in your life? How are you doing for Jesus? I'm fine, thanks. Mm-hmm. How was church? It was okay, a little embarrassing. Pastor Kev shouted a little too much. Stir up the gift of God. Let's see it from another version, the New American Standard. For this reason, I remind you, say it with me, please, to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. Next verse, NIV. For this reason, I remind you, say this, I like it, to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. And one more, the Message. And the special gift of ministry you received when I laid hands on you and prayed. Say it with me and boom it out, would you? Keep that ablaze. Keep the chocolate stirring up. Stir it up. Don't let the hot chocolate get wimpy. Don't let your Christian walk, the Spirit of God in your life, get wimpy. Keep it stirred. Just like the apostles did and the disciples did. If they needed to, how much more? You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Kevin. It was a one-time experience. Well, really? Let's take a look at Acts chapter 4. Same people involved. Watch this. Acts 4, 29 through 31. Now, Lord, look on their threats after they'd been arrested and told not to preach in Jesus' name. They said, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Now, I'd like you to read out loud with me verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. I thought that already happened. Stir it up. Oh God, fresh infilling. Fill me to overflowing again. Let every pore of my being be saturated with your presence, God. When I get bumped in life, and I do, I don't want yuck to come out of me. What I want to come out of me is the precious presence of Jesus. When I come into the presence of people who need help, I want to have the anointing of God and the Spirit of God speaking to me, the word of wisdom saying, here's exactly what they need. Pray for them in this way. The Holy Spirit leading and guiding. Now that, my friends, is the power of Pentecost. And that is what Port Ludlow, the Olympic Peninsula, Washington State, the United States, and the world needs. He'll fill this earth with His glory as the waters cover the sea. Stand with me, would you please? Father, we thank You that You're a God who does all things well. And Pentecost wasn't just an experience for a long time ago. But there's a fresh infilling that You desire to give us even today. Lord, we give You room in our lives. We give You liberty in our lives. We're not satisfied with yesterday's bread. We love and long for Your fresh moving today. We thank You, Lord, because You are so good. Now, would you raise your hands, everybody in the room? Just raise your hands. If you have not surrendered your life to the Lord, I urge you, let this be the day you do so. If you have surrendered to the Lord and you've been baptized in the Spirit, received Him, I urge you to ask God, even right now as we pray together, Lord, fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit. Can you pray that way? Just join with me, church. Lord, fill me afresh with Your Holy Spirit. Come on, let's say it again. Lord, fill me afresh with Your Holy Spirit. We give You liberty in our lives, liberty to move by the Spirit of the living God. Now just pour out your heart to the Lord and ask Him to baptize you in a fresh way. If you've not been recipient, allow Him to minister to you right now. And then we're going to ask you to come forward if you need help in breaking free in the gifts of the Spirit. Come on forward. And those of you who are baptized in the Spirit, stretch out your hands toward those who come. If you need the Spirit of God to be poured out in your life, come on forward and let the Spirit of God minister to you. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for the moving of Your Spirit this day. Thank You for the cleansing blood. Thank You for the grace of God. Thank You, O Lord, for the power of Pentecost. With your hands raised again, just raise them up high. Jesus, I pray, sweep over this congregation. Minister to each one with the precious power of Jesus. This day is no accident, but we're called to express You more than ever before. We give You liberty to do so, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Alan and Shannon, would you come forward and lead us in that song one more time? Show Your power. Musicians, would you come? And we'll come to a close. Show Your power. We thank you for coming. If you're a guest and visitor, we invite you back next week. Same time, same place. We'll be right here.